Blog Talk Radio.
That. Hey everyone, welcome to our happy hour.
Whoa. Always something new and ongoing.
Yeah, there we go. That song didn't want to die. Hey, welcome to our happy hour. This is Steve Bose. This is our happy hour episode 10, the Job Seeker Show. With me, of course, is Shauna Morty, the HR Minion. How are you tonight, Shauna?
I'm doing good.
Shauna,
how are you?
I'm great. And in tradition of the show, it's about the seventh week in a row I've screwed up the intro song. So I'm glad we've got, I guess that's our little signature, that I'm glad we're keeping that going.
Yeah.
What's going on, Shauna, this week? It's been a whole week. What's happening?
I'm getting used to actually, you know, working all day again. It takes more out of you than you would think when you've been out of it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And
well,
not baking either.
We're going to rely on some of your recent expertise in the job market on the show tonight, for sure. Tonight is the Job Seeker Show. We've got a great lineup of guests tonight. I do want to, just before the show starts, mention a couple of things. If you want to participate in the show, the dial-in number is area code 646-378-1086. You can call that number, and if you want to come on the air, if you're a job seeker, you have a question or some information you'd like to try to get, just call that number and press 1 on your handset, and we'll get you on the line as quickly as we can. If you want to just hang out and listen on the listener line, that's cool too. I also want to make a special shout out to one of the guests that was scheduled tonight was Deirdre Honor. You might know her as the HR Maven. Unfortunately, she couldn't be with us tonight, and I just wanted to give a little shout out to her. It's really some work she was doing with some free workshops she's been running in her home state of Michigan for job seekers. To me, was the inspiration for me wanting to do this show. So I just wanted to give a special shout-out to her before we get going.
Right. We always love it when she comes on.
I know. She's fantastic, and sorry she couldn't be with us tonight, but we are thinking about her. I do want to go ahead and just have the panel that have all called in tonight to go ahead and introduce themselves first. I have Jennifer McClure. How are you tonight, Jennifer?
I'm good, Steve. A little bit tired. Been HR conferencing this week, but I'm ready to talk about job search tonight.
That's fantastic. And, you know, you all probably listening to the show, you know Jennifer, you might know her as the Cincy Recruiter, and we're really pleased that she's on the show tonight. Thanks.
Thank you.
We have Paul DeBettings. Paul, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, but I thought we were talking about college football tonight.
We can talk about that, Paul.
We can always talk about sports.
A little football. You know, we're going to have to do another sports show soon.
Okay, all right.
Paul's also known as the MN Headhunter. Do you like MN Headhunter or sort of Minnesota Headhunter, Paul?
You know, if I could go back 4 years ago, I would have done the Minnesota thing, but kind of that horse left the barn.
All right. Well, it's a brand, you know. You own it now. Also, tonight we have Robin Eves. Robin, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Great.
Good. My name is Robin Eads. I'm with JobShouts.com, co-founder of JobShouts.com, a 15-year recruiting veteran.
Yeah, Robin's fantastic. I'm really pleased that she could come on the show and offer her insights. And lastly, not least, of course, April Dowling is on the show. April, how are you tonight?
I'm lovely. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Great. April is fantastic, great blogger at pseudohr.com, but also April is one of the few people lately that I know of been doing some hiring, right? I know you've been talking about hiring lately, and you've been doing a lot of resumes and interviews, so you've got some perspective on what's happening in that area, right?
Yeah, I just filled 14 positions this week.
Wow.
Excellent. That's awesome.
Yeah, we still have 3.5 left open.
3.5?
Yeah, one of them's a part-time. That's a half a person.
Yeah, we should definitely make sure we shout out by the end of the show how to look, how to find that information, where those jobs are, especially as well, and how someone who's interested might check those out.
Okay.
All right, great. Thanks everyone again for joining us. And again, if you're hanging out and listening and you want to come on the line tonight, just make sure you 646-378-1086 and press 1. There's quite a few callers on the line, and we'll get to you guys in a few minutes. But first of all, I just wanted to kind of throw it out there to everybody. You know, the unemployment rate's kind of going up, it's going down, it's hovering around that 10% number, and definitely in some states it's just, you know, even worse, like states like Michigan, I think Nevada, maybe even California.
Even in Florida, the unemployment rate is 10.7%. It's pretty high.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, so definitely, what in general, like, what would you say for, you know, for the average job seeker out there right now, maybe perhaps in a long-term search, been out looking for quite a while, you know, what should they really be doing first, second, and third, just to get themselves organized and try to give themselves the best opportunity for success? What are the one or two things you have them do right away?
This is Jennifer, and I would say it is critical that they get very clear over what they're targeting. There's so many people out there looking for a job, and there are unfortunately so many people out there who are just going about it and saying they're open to opportunities because they're afraid if they don't say they're open to anything, they'll leave something on the table. But in my experience, both trying to help those individuals and working with individuals in career transition, it doesn't help with your networking or in talking to people who could potentially help you because they don't know how to help you if you don't say, I'm looking for X and my skills are this and here's how I can help a company.
Right. I agree with you, Jennifer. This is Robin. That's the one thing that we as recruiters tend to stress to people is pick your skills and stick with them because of the fact that you can't be everything to everyone. You know, and while we all may, the job seekers may be in the position of wanting to take anything that comes their way, it's really in their best interest to stick with their core skills.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Do you think that, you know, just as a parallel to that, you know, I've seen a lot of talk recently online and in different columns about sort of targeting your approach. And do you guys recommend that job seekers really specifically target their approach and their documentation, resume, and cover letters for each specific opportunity that they're after?
I personally would advise doing that as necessary. I mean, you can always have a general catch-all resume highlighting your specific skills, but I think that it goes an extra step to modify your resume to really catch the reader's attention. You know, there's a very short time window for a resume review when a hiring manager or a recruiter is looking at that resume. So you want to be able to get their attention. So if using a few of the key target, you know, a few of the target keywords that are in that job description within the resume, you may be more likely to catch their attention. So I definitely advise to do that.
Right. How much time would you say on average, you know, the average hiring manager, HR person, recruiter, and whatnot, really going to spend on that first look, that first cover letter and resume review?
Jennifer, what do you think? I'm guessing about 30 seconds.
It's probably less than that. What's really critical, and especially those of you that are recruiters or do a lot of recruiting, you know, you get in the zone of resume review if you're looking at resumes online, and it's really important that above the fold, what's on the screen, that needs to capture my attention. That
Absolutely.
Needs to show me that you are in the slot to get me to even scroll down. And then that's unfortunate, but that's the reality. If you're looking
it is
at
the reality.
500 resumes in a couple of hours, it's like, I'm looking for a CFO. This person's been a VP of finance. I might be interested. I'm looking for a CFO. This person's been a director of HR. Next. You know.
Exactly. And another important thing to mention is anytime you have any certifications, they should really go on the front page, especially if they're pertinent to your industry, because to be quite honest, recruiters most likely don't get past the first page. The first page is really your selling point. And so anything relevant to your specific job and your specific industry that would capture the reader's attention really needs to be on that first page.
Right, right. I think that, you know, I think there's some conflicting advice on that, and I'm not, you know, I'm not in that space directly, so I have seen some talk about, you know, don't bother spending so much time on that, you know, real customization is not worth it, versus you guys tend to think that, you know, definitely want to make that targeted approach, which I tend to agree with, and I guess if I had to come down on one side or another.
I don't know. This is Jennifer. I don't necessarily recommend that people customize the resume. I kind of go back to that. If you're customizing your resume for different jobs that you're applying for, then I question whether or not you are focused. If you have to rewrite your resume, you might tweak a keyword here or there to make sure you get through an ATS system. But if it's not on your resume and it's not a good match for the job, then it's probably, if you're having to redo your resume, you may or may not be a good fit. Obviously, the cover letter is an opportunity to do that. I don't read typically cover letters, though, unless I'm interested in the resume. So, and I think I'm in the minority there. But I will open the resume and read it, and then if I like it later, I'll read the cover letter, and I'm going to skim that cover letter. But
I'm
kind of
with you on that, Jennifer. I tend to read the cover letter after I've already looked at the resume.
But if you're going to do a cover letter, like, you know, Chris Dunn had the post yesterday of the awesomest cover letter ever, I think, you know, really personalized, really customized, that would get my attention, and that would definitely, if that person was anywhere near the ballpark, get me to call them and invite them in for an interview to talk to them.
Yeah,
would
you? Can I just, want to stop for a second. I know that I'm just checking the tweets about the show. If you're following on Twitter and trying to chime in, the hashtag is HR Happy Hour. There was a bad link that went out earlier, probably sent by me. So, Shauna, if you could just one more time tweet out a good working link for the show, or someone else out there who's listening, there was a link that I had sent earlier that had a dropped off character and, so it was not helping out people who wanted to listen. So I do apologize about that. And again, quickly, if you want to come on the line, 646-378-1086 and press 1. I do have someone who's tweeted at me that they want to come on the line, and I have a feeling I know who this is. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him up right now. Is this Bill Borman?
I'm with you, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey.
Very good. Great show. Great show. I phoned in to see how a radio show should be done, so I'm learning from you.
Which starts with getting the names right, Bill.
I'll take that point on board. It applies equally. The point I wanted to make, Steve, just listening in, is I think one of the things to consider in the job hunt, and I'm speaking obviously from a recruiter's point of view, is that you need a different kind of CV for a recruiter to one that you would to apply for a general position. And I think that's where a lot of people miss out, because recruiters are looking to see your key skills very quickly, not really interested in things like your overview or your introduction at the top that says what a great guy you are. What we're interested in is seeing achievements that jump out of the page, and job titles, and really to be able to read it in one page.
Right, it's a good point. Hey, April, you're an HR person. You're not a recruiter, like, full-time anyway, and you've had lots of resumes come across your desk. Well, how do you see the whole cover letter resume from your angle?
If the cover letter is addressed to me or it's addressed to HR, I'll read it, but typically, unless the resume itself really stands out, I don't read them.
Right, so much in line with what the rest of the panel sort of suggested, right?
Right.
Yeah, makes sense. Hey, I do want to just move on just a little bit from cover letter resume to getting into just, you know, where do you advise people to be, or out on the market in general, where should they look for jobs? Where should they be finding jobs? Should they be out there on the big job boards anymore, or should they be on LinkedIn? Should they be calling up all their friends they used to work with? I mean, what are the best tactics and approaches right now for the job seeker, would you say?
Yes and yes. This is Robin again. I think that a job seeker should be trying everything and anything they possibly can in terms of their job search. That consists of aggregates, LinkedIn, your network, you know, places like Craigslist, any place that they can think of where they can identify possible opportunities. Because you really don't want to miss an opportunity by leaving that stone unturned. your job search is a full-time job until you locate your next position.
I'm not going to say anything else until I hear the wisdom that is Paul Bettini.
Paul, what do you mean? What's your... Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I have two thoughts, and I know we only have 45 minutes left, so I'll try to keep it short. But first thing that's popped into my head, just as I listen to us, is and I'm going to use a naughty word here, and I want to apologize.
Don't worry about it.
If you're a job seeker, just how screwed are you right now? You know, the debate of one-page resume or two, should I send a cover letter or not? Should I make sure that my resume matches the job description for the applicant tracking system? And if I'm a job seeker right now, I'm ready to, like, slip my wrist with a plastic spoon.
It can be very confusing for job seekers, and I think that the ultimate point is that there really is no, you know, unless you – there is no one particular way to know whether or not you should include a cover letter or whether or not you should tweak your resume unless you have actually an inside connection with the company to which you're applying. You know, maybe talk with other peers in your network to find out if any of them have worked or applied at a particular company. But it can be very exhausting to be so investigative.
You know, and you're right, because the idea that, you know, some people are saying, you know, I'm a big social media guy, but you can't just use that. You can't just use LinkedIn. You can't just use a big job board. You can't just use a local job board. I mean, if you're, you know, I literally have had construction here in my courtyard for the last 70-some days. And, you know, these guys don't just walk around with a hammer. You know, they've got a lot of different things that they're using. And I don't know. I guess I really feel bad for job seekers right now, because I can't imagine how frustrating it's got to be to try to grasp all this stuff.
Right. Yeah, you're right. There's definitely a lot of a lot to keep it straight. You know, I do. There was a comment that came in on Twitter. I'll just mention it, from Lori Rudeman. Why don't we write job descriptions that say, "Please don't send us any cover letters," since
that would be awesome.
So, it's a good consideration, because you're right. As a job seeker, I've seen it too, and you guys probably have as well, agonizing over, you know, parsing the sentences out in the cover letter to make sure, you know, every last word is spelled correctly and the punctuation looks good. And the reality is there might be 10 seconds spent on someone scanning that information.
Well, this is Jennifer. I think, as far as, you know, there are resumes that are good and many that are bad. The chances of writing a bad cover letter outweigh the chances of writing a bad resume. They're either
way too long, or
they're only two sentences. They're rarely, and/or they're the, you know, cut and paste, dear employer, and change the name. I do find them helpful for the five or so that I put, you know, parse it down to. You know, then it helps me to learn a little bit more if they're good. So I wouldn't say that cover letters, you know, should be banned. It's just, I think sometimes, whether it's resume coaches or career coaches and, you know, anybody, they might put a little bit too much emphasis on the cover letter. But I think you were headed in the right direction, Steve, though. The resume, the cover letter, all that really is not the most important part of a job search. The most important part of the job search is networking and finding opportunities and connections to those who can then help you with how to put in the right documents or what the company's looking for, or give a good recommendation on your behalf and get you in front of people that your resume may not have been able to do so.
Yeah, I've got a follow-up to that, Jennifer, in a second. I do have a caller who wants to come on board, so I'm going to bring that caller up right now. Hi, area code 503. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
This is Lance from yourhrguy.com.
Hey, Lance.
Hi,
hey,
Lance.
Hey, Lance.
Hi.
Are you here for the obnoxious questions now?
No.
Oh,
they're
going to be
fluffy? Hey, I got a question for the panel.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Why are we still talking about resume gaps? That's what I'm questioning, because at this time I know probably five director level, manager level candidates that can't get a job. They haven't had a job for 8 to 10 months. They haven't had an interview in the last 2 months. Just wondering why we keep talking about resume gaps. I personally
think that resume gaps within the last, I'd say, year and a half, tied to the economy, aren't as big of a deal as resume gaps within a resume 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago within a person's experience. I think if you have a resume gap in your history that can't be explained through economy, that there probably should be a blurb in the resume about what was done during that time. Maybe you took a sabbatical. Maybe you took time off to go to school. There's nothing wrong with that, and I personally don't think it's the kiss of death on a resume. I just think people are curious and want to know, and if you don't explain it, they're more apt to think poorly than to think positively.
Yeah, the kiss of death is when there's a gap and there's no explanation. When you get a resume and somebody hasn't worked since 2007 and they don't mention that in their cover letter, then the only thing you think of is, okay, they were in prison, you know. So
Right.
Mine
automatically goes for prison or something really bad.
Yeah, not kids or anything.
No, if you're not taking the time to tell me why, then I have to assume that you're trying to avoid that. Now,
I always make the assumption that maybe there's something wrong with them that makes them unemployable. If there's, you know, if they've interviewed, they tell me they've interviewed all over town and can't get a job, you know, in this economy, it's understandable. But if it was 5 years ago, I interviewed all over town and couldn't get a job 5 years ago, I'm a little worried about that.
Right. I would definitely think resume gaps today are not as much an issue as maybe they used to be. I think that... can I just, before we go on to the next, is prison itself, so that's a, you screen out for prison? I should not put that on my resume?
No, prison's usually bad.
Oh,
bad.
FOQ.
I won't mention that. Bill, what do you call that in the UK? At the service of Her Majesty? Something like that, right?
In the service of Her Majesty's pleasure. Her Majesty's pleasure. When the Queen
invites you that's awesome.
When the Queen invites you for a stay, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
It's almost worth going to prison in England so you could say that. I don't want to say that.
Almost.
Hey, I want to segue into another point, something that sort of Jennifer alluded to and that I wanted to talk about tonight, which is, you know, so many companies have downsized in the last, you know, couple of years here in the U.S. certainly, and I'll imagine in the U.K. as well. The person, the manager, or as Lance said, a director level type person, has not been in the job market for a long time. Maybe has been in the company for 10 or 15 years even, now finds themselves out on the job market, but perhaps, you know, unprepared to be on the job market. What do they really need to worry about? What should they be doing right away? What do they need to know now that maybe 10 or 15 years ago wasn't the case?
I think that the first thing that they should do is have someone professionally do their resume. Because somebody with 10 or 15 years invested in one particular company may not know the proper structure, format, keywords, all of those things. And I think investing in a professional resume writer, whoever that may be, is definitely a wise move.
Okay.
And that would be my first move.
I'm back to, they need to get real clarity about what they're targeting and get their, whether you want to call it an elevator pitch. They need to be able to clearly explain what they're looking for, what type of contacts they're interested in making, and what type of companies that they're interested in working for so that people can help them connect to those. They right away need to start tapping into their network. I work with a lot of senior level executives that are in transition through hosting ExecuNet meetings in the Cincinnati area, and the ones who land quicker, faster, sooner, it's not through executive search, it's not through a job posting, it's through I talked to, you know, this person who connected me to that person, or I found a job on a job board, but I picked up the phone and I called my network and I got an introduction. So
absolutely. And I definitely agree with you, Jennifer. I think that that's absolutely accurate. I do think that by having, and that's great, definitely follows into what I'm saying, is that once they have the resume done, they have clarity. They have clarity about their vision, about what job they're going to pursue or what industry they're going to pursue. I definitely think that having someone who can professionally collaborate on their experience on paper helps them to visualize what their objective is, if that makes sense.
I would agree with that, Steve. I think from a recruiter's point of view, when somebody comes in to see you and you say, what are you looking for, and they don't really know, or you're talking to someone on the phone and they're not really sure what they're looking for, they're not going to get too far. But somebody who rings you and is very clear on what their objective is jumps to the front of the queue because you know when to ring them and when not to.
Right. For instance, let's say you have someone who's been doing several different jobs within a company as an executive for the last several years because they worked for a small company. So they were doing, you know, multiple things. I think someone like a career coach or a resume writer can help an executive like that focus on, well, where were your true strengths and what did you focus on most of all out of all of these tasks in your daily work?
Right. Those are great, great points, and I just want to take 1 second to address a couple of tweets that have come in. You know, once again, I think, and in fact, some of the people on this call are sort of doing their own show on Twitter right now as well, which good, thanks for that. But someone said, what if you learned some useful skills in prison? Shouldn't you highlight those on your resume?
That's
great. Awesome.
Absolutely.
I would highlight that probably. So
I'm not sure what that would be. Janitorial services? I'm not really sure.
License plate.
Yeah.
Mile back.
Tim,
I would like a definition of useful skills.
Negotiation skills. That's what Tim just tweeted. You know, smokes traded up for something better, as he put it.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim, for that. Very good. All right, I'm out there. One of the things we see, right? We follow this placement market very closely, and we say, you know, jobs get found through your network, through your referrals, through personal contact, right? And you see that all the time, right? And so I'm a new job seeker. I haven't been looking for a job for a while. I haven't been very active, maybe like I should have been in, say, local organizations or professional organizations, and boom, I'm back on the market. I mean, so a lot of people get kind of like, well, what should they do? They know they need to work their networks, but what really should they do if they're sort of find themselves really in a bad position in that regard? What are the couple things they should do first?
They have to start. I found myself in that position 4 years ago when I found myself, you know, I knew my job was going to be eliminated and I didn't do anything about it and I didn't have a network. I did engage a career coach to help me, and that is one of the best decisions I ever made because he taught me how to network. I claimed I didn't know anybody. I started on the remedial program by kind of talking to some of his contacts. But once I got my messaging clear and once I felt comfortable and began to be interested in the networking process, which it's really about, networking is about building relationships and a connection. It's not about finding a job. So the people who are most successful at networking are the ones who are out there really just looking to connect with people and also trying to find ways where they can help other people. And they're able to kind of put that I need for me in the background, which makes it easier for people to talk to them. So you just have to start, and you have to start getting out and making people like you. That is the ultimate goal of networking, get people to like you so that they
sure
want to help you. And if you don't have a network, that's no excuse. Just start.
Bill's trying really hard, by the way, to get people to like him on Twitter.
I'm trying. I'm really hard on that. Yeah, I'm learning all my lessons from the animal. That's what it is.
Well, let me just follow up to that. Let me follow up. Question is, how quickly then do you jump into them? You know, hey, I'm out of work and I'm looking for something. You know,
You can't wait to talk about that. You know, for instance, just put it out there. It can be a single tweet. It can be an update on LinkedIn. Just put it out there. Hey, you know, I'm now finding myself back on the job market. Any leads would be appreciated. You know, something as simple as that, I'm happy to pass along leads to anyone in my network that lets me know that they're looking. I'm not psychic, so I have to know somehow, right?
I don't understand.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to – this has been the one that's been bothering me. You know, I've been doing a lot of job search presentations in Minneapolis, and people will say – I'll say to them, you know, so how many – I mean, does everybody you know that you're looking? And – a lot of times, whether it's ego, if it's, you know, self, you know, sort of just conscious of being unemployed. But damn, if there was ever a time you'd want to let people know what's going on, it's now. But everybody's thinking, wondering, concerned, or know someone who's been impacted by this. So if there was ever a time not to be shy, it's now.
Sure. And there, you know, I think a lot of that is people are ashamed, maybe, to talk about being unemployed, and it's not shameful. It's common.
There is a bad stigma on it, though.
Right, right. But I think people need to recognize, I mean, they're not in this alone right now. This economy, especially, 10% and higher is the unemployment rate. They are not alone. There's millions of people out there in the same situation. You know, get together with groups and put your head together and figure it out.
But I would challenge people that I get the pride thing and I get the being self-conscious about all this stuff, but at the end of the day, that's not going to pay the mortgage payment.
Sure,
and
exactly.
Not going to take care of the kids or the parents or the whoever. That you just, it was the one thing earlier you asked the question about what's one of the first things that people should do when they find themselves out of work. Deal with the emotional baggage as fast as you can.
Sure. That's where I think it's really important, and it's not the case for everybody. There is a grieving cycle for most people with a job loss, and if they try to stuff that and not deal with, hey, I'm angry, hey, I'm sad, hey, I'm scared, that might take, you know, my case, and I was actually happy to have my position eliminated 4 years ago, but I took a month off and just rode horses and reconnected with myself and got some clarity around what I wanted to do, and then I started with a coach because it was important for me to kind of go through that whole cycle, and I see a lot of people who have that victim mentality, and that is not a good message.
Sure.
So I say start your networking and start your job search when you're ready to be positive about it. When you can say, I'm excited about a job search and connecting with an opportunity that's a good fit for me and here's what it looks like, and you can mean that and exude that, then you're ready. But if you can, if you're going out and saying, you know, I'm a victim of the economy, I was laid off last week, it's going to be really tough, I know it's, you know, don't go.
Yeah, positive thinking is the key. I mean, really, nobody wants to hang out with victims.
All right, hey, guys, let me just do a couple of quick resets here. We're about halfway into the show. Again, the dial-in number is 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on the line. I do have a caller who wants to come on, so I'm going to bring that caller up right now if I can here. Hi, area code 515. You are on the HR Happy Hour.
Hey, hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi,
this is Billy Suker in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm a career counselor, resume writer. Have a question
great. How
for
are you?
You
tonight?
I'm
what?
Great. I love your show. My question
Donna,
is...
that's the first time anyone ever said they love the show. I'm the
is that really the first time?
I
we should be having
bored.
Everyone say that.
Oh,
all right.
I was kind of bored and I found your show, so I'm listening. But anyway, my question is this. I work with a lot of baby boomers, and they're constantly asking me about age and recruiters. So if you all could comment on that, I'd really appreciate it, and that's my question.
Great.
I would say own
Thank
it.
You.
Own it, right.
When you go into it, I guarantee you the people that start the interview process and then a couple, you know, they get into it and they start blaming not being able to get things because of their age, or they play tricks like, you know, take 20 years off of their resume so that a recruiter gets annoyed when they interview somebody who looks a lot different than 10 years of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to talk about what you can bring to the table. And if someone does question that you're too experienced or you have too much, then just learn how to ask a good question. Is it my understanding that you're looking for someone who can do this? If it's my understanding that you're looking for someone who has done this, if I can demonstrate to you that I've done those things, would you be willing to talk to me? You have to take it away from people that it's a problem in their mind, and it also has to not be a problem in your mind. Now, granted, you're not going to get some jobs because somebody is going to discriminate, but you didn't want to work there anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. I think that certainly, to me, it's certainly about a little bit of unfamiliarity with being back in search for some of the boomers who might be out there now, and maybe unfamiliarity with a number of the new tools that have emerged in the last few years that you guys have sort of alluded to a little bit, but I do want to talk about a little bit more since, we're here on Blog Talk Radio talking about job search. You know, quite frankly, the average baby boomer who finds themselves out of work and looking for a job, they're not hip to Blog Talk Radio. They're not listening to
the
show.
I was
going to
say, they need to embrace technology a little bit more, and I think my mom probably falls into that generation. You got to learn to embrace the technology. It's got to be part of your toolkit.
Right. And so and I know when I talked to Dee before we put together this show, one of the things she told me from some of her seminars and workshops she's been doing for job seekers in Michigan was that the vast majority of folks who came into her sessions were not on LinkedIn. They didn't know anything about online networking at all. So we're really starting from absolute zero. Now, do you think that's essential to really have a grasp of these tools right now, or is it more variable by the type of job someone's looking for or where they live?
It's certainly going to depend. I mean, I don't think not having a LinkedIn profile is a killer, but it depends.
Right.
If you get referred in for a job by someone in your network and you've got 20 years of experience as a CEO, you didn't need that LinkedIn profile. But if you are looking for a job where people are going to be looking for you or trying to check up on you and you don't have some of that digital online footprint, then you start to look out of touch. And if that's something that is going to be necessary in the job, then that's going to be not a good thing.
I think word to the wise is it's always a good thing if you can manage to have a LinkedIn profile or be aware of social networks, that it's certainly not going to be to your disadvantage.
I think with that, Steve, it's how findable you are. And if you're not in LinkedIn or you're not in any of the other channels, you may be missed out because
sure.
Lots of people will have their own searches. You know,
sure.
I know people who only search on LinkedIn. If you're not there, you're not going to get found. It's as simple
sure.
as that.
There's people that are on, you know, on every major job board, have their own website, that are on LinkedIn, that are on Twitter. They're everywhere trying to find an opportunity. And if that's your competition and you're not on any of those networks, well, then you're definitely at a disadvantage. You know, it also depends, I think, too, that for baby boomers especially, they may be more comfortable with, in-person groups and meetings and things like that instead of necessarily social networks. But those types of groups can lead them to social networks as well. Those type, you know, they can learn from some of their peers in those groups about how to use social networking to their advantage in the job search. So, if they start, they can start by meeting with their local, their local chamber or potentially other local pink slip parties, anything like that, just to kind of reach out and get started.
You know, I was talking to Kelly, Sorcerer Kelly on Twitter about, why should people have a Google profile and why they should go out there on social media sites. And, you know, if only just to kind of, control the image that's out there that will represent you, it's important to do. And eventually when this stuff becomes as popular and just as commonplace as it is going to be, I think people are going to start wondering more why you don't have one than why you do.
Right.
I agree.
So findability is for what Bill said, and certainly, your competition is out there. They're doing this. You need to be out there too. Otherwise, you're just going to get overlooked and get missed, despite and perhaps maybe even better or as good qualifications perhaps on a resume then is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I'd go beyond that, Steve. I think one of the things that job seekers need to do in the job search is look at what the competition are doing, and that means looking at their profiles, looking at their resumes where they're posted and thinking, do I stack up? Am I going to get found? And am I going to stand out if I'm in competition with this guy? Because it's a competitive world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got a few recruiters on the line. You have Paul, we have Jennifer, Bill. The job seekers, do you advise engaging with recruiters directly, reaching right to recruiters and trying to strike up relationships, or sort of relying more on finding those hiring companies themselves?
I think you need
ladies first.
You have to do both.
Sure.
I mean, we've said it several times. Leave no stone unturned. I think the stats are, there's several different surveys out there, but there are always something like 60 to 70% of jobs are gotten through networking and 20, 25% through the job boards and 10% or less, I know that didn't add up to 100, are through recruiters. So, recruiters are not...
Fuzzy math.
Yeah.
I like fuzzy math. We're in HR.
I have an HR background, so you know what that's like. Recruiters are not going to be most likely your source of hire by reaching out to them personally.
Oh, but they have
recruiters
great network.
Find jobs for, find people for the jobs they're working for. So if you do get a job through a recruiter, it's probably much, much more likely that they reached out to you. However, it doesn't hurt. it's not going to hurt to try. Like in my case, I try to be helpful. I try to share networking resources. It's always good to get in their database. That doesn't hurt, but don't expect that just a phone call to me or an email through LinkedIn, I just took over your job search and I'm going to find you a job. And that's what I think frustrates me, and it's also frustrating for people on the other side who leave, even though I tell them, they have unrealistic expectations of, I lost my job, I'll call a recruiter, and then they'll get me some interviews. And that
and I think
does
what,
not work.
Exactly. And even more annoying, and what really doesn't work, is calling a recruiter repeatedly.
You mean I can't call you two times a day, every day in a week, to make
if
sure
it was
that you
only,
know that I'm looking?
If it was only two times a day, I'd be pleased. I have some, seriously, that have attempted to call me every hour on the hour. And, you know, especially if you have caller ID, and I know it's Stephanie Lloyd, and we've talked about this before, if you have caller ID and you know it's the same person calling over and over and over again, you know, it just makes me more likely to not want to help you.
From my standpoint, those people that are stalking me, I have absolutely nothing to do with those people.
Right. I think that some. I think it's more desperation than it is stalking. But either way,
we can call it stalking.
Not very flattering, you know, and it doesn't reflect well on the job seeker at all.
Yeah,
right.
I'll just throw this out there, though, in general, not sort of for you guys in particular, but in general, are we being really fair to job seekers right now? Are we being, in general, as recruiters and hiring managers and companies, are we being fair in terms of communicating, providing status of an application, or is it, you know, we job seekers out there desperate in the resume black hole and panicking?
It all depends on the recruiter you're working with, and obviously one recruiter does not fit all. You may or may not have a good relationship. That's why it's important. It's important to kind of spread yourself out maybe to several different recruiters to find who's the best match for you. You know, you may find one that's great, that works with you well, and you stick with that recruiter. You know, but you may find that working with several may be more beneficial, or that you click with one more than another. And I think recruiters are being much more sensitive to the fact that there's a lot of job seekers out there, and maybe, you know, handling them a little bit more delicately than we would have in the past, at least for me. And I'm speaking from personal experience. So,
you know, I want to remain calm. My frustration is if you listen to what job seekers are saying about what the process is like for them right now to find a job, and you think that, oh, you know, I've been saying this for a long time, we are in an intensely personal business, yet we try to make it as impersonal as possible.
Oh, God,
yeah. It's interesting to me, my recruiter friends, the search recruiter friends, 2 years ago, all they would do was bitch because Candace didn't ever get back to them, or passive job seekers, whatever you want to call them. You know, they would never get back to them. They would never get back. And now, right, job seekers are complaining that our profession is not getting back to them. 2 years from now, we're going to reverse this cycle again, and I'm going to laugh at all of my corporate recruiter friends and search firm recruiter friends and say, you have no right to be bitching about this because you did what was done to you.
Absolutely. You know, I think part of the problem and what created a lot of that, a lot of this big void for job seekers in terms of communication with actual employers that are hiring is applicant tracking systems.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many job postings that are automated through applicant tracking systems that don't allow job seekers to create a personal connection with that company. And then when they are encouraged to do so by recruiters, by career coaches, by whomever, experts in the industry, reach out and make a connection with that company, they get their hands slapped and told to go through the applicant tracking system. Well, that's very frustrating for a job seeker. You know, how do you make a personal connection? How do you stand out how do you stand out from the crowd when you're funneled into an ATS?
Well, and that's the
hypocrisy.
If any one of us were to do a job search starting, well, right now, one of the first thing we would do is we would hop on LinkedIn and use Google or use ZoomInfo or anything else to find a contact name of the company, because that's how we would go about doing our job search. Yet when candidates do it, all I hear recruiters talking about is, I can't believe these people are contacting me. Well, I get that there's that volume, but you know what? That's what job seekers should do, is try to find someone to get in touch with. And this is why that frustration thing that I think our profession really needs to stop and get outside of the company walls for a minute and go hang out with some job seekers for a day and hear what they have to talk about, and maybe the situation would change a little bit.
Yeah.
And my only issue with that is I agree. I mean, I've sat on panels with other recruiters before, and I've actually addressed the audience and said, you know, I feel sorry for you guys. We're all giving different answers about how we want to be contacted or how we're going to handle you. So my just general advice to people is own your job search, though. Don't ever expect someone else to take over your job search for you. So that's I return every single phone call. If you leave me a message, I will call you back. It may be 2 weeks, but I will call you back. I respond to every single email to my personal detriment. I try to respond to people, but I still have people get frustrated with me as a recruiter because I was very clear, you know, get in our database, we don't find jobs for people, we're retained search, yada, yada. And then 2 weeks later, they send me an email and go, Jennifer, I haven't heard from you. Have you got me any jobs yet? They didn't listen. Now, that's not everybody.
Right. No,
so,
no, that's very frustrating.
Now, let's not generalize. All recruiters aren't bad, and neither are all job seekers. I'm frustrated with the job seekers who want me to own their job search or their networking.
Absolutely.
Process.
And I think that a lot of job seekers need to know that there's a difference. Most recruiters that are retained by clients are not in a position to help the job seeker. They're in a position to keep themselves employed and to service the employer that's paying the fee. And, job seekers need to realize that if you are looking for someone to help you in your job search, specifically to help you in your job search, then you need to be working with a career coach and not a recruiter.
Hey, it's great. We got about 15 more minutes to go. I'll give the number one last time, 646-378-1086. Press 1 if you want to come on the line and ask a question. If you're hanging out on the line, which quite a few people are, and you do want to ask a question, go ahead and press 1, and I'll bring you right on the line. And you can ask a question of the expert panel, but, you know, unfortunately, you might get two different answers, perhaps three, since it's definitely complicated out there, and there's no doubt. And there's been a really lively Twitter back channel tonight, and I appreciate that, and some of the great comments we've seen.
Delance is being awful salty. Is he still on the line? He needs to speak.
I know.
I heard my name.
You're being very salty on Twitter. You need to just jump in here.
Delance says recruiters pretend they care about the applicant experience, yet they make it worse. Is that you, Delance, who said that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul got me fired up.
Hey, Steve, can I ask a question?
You can go right ahead.
Okay. So my concern is that we talk about Google profiles, we talk about social media, we talk about LinkedIn. If you think about the people who are unemployed in our country, I think we need to take a step back and think about it. I think we always talk about job seekers as in like who we recruit, right? I recruit IT people in Minneapolis, people who tend to be online, people who tend to have college degrees. What do you do for the person who's got a high school degree and they're making $12, they're looking for a $12 an hour job? I mean, when we do presentations here in Minneapolis, it's we get people of all shapes and sizes, backgrounds, skills, and education. And when you suggest to them, you need to be on LinkedIn, you need to make a Google profile, they look at you like, are you nuts? I'm trying to find a $12 an hour customer service job. Are we missing out on the people who probably need the information the most and give them better ideas for a job search?
That's a great point. I think that's a great point. And I think that for those particular folks, and I have been in both the professional realm of staffing and also in office clerical and in industrial, light industrial staffing, so I've kind of run the gamut. But you have to, you know, for job seekers in that category, in the 12 to, or I'd say $8 to $12 an hour or what have you, that aren't necessarily going to be looking for jobs on LinkedIn, let's say for the light industrial professional. They're not going to be looking for a job necessarily on LinkedIn. What they need to be doing is looking through their own networks, people that they've worked with in the past and doing the same thing except offline. It still boils down to, most of the time, who knows that you're looking and how can they help you? So if you're not getting out there, it doesn't matter if it's online or offline, if you're not getting out there and talking to people, whether it's the local one-stop career center or whether it's, you know, a professional association of some sort or whether it's a pink slip party or any of the above, you don't just have to find a job online. You don't just have to network online. You can certainly do that offline, and it's advantageous no matter what profession you're in.
Yeah, April, I want to throw this to you. I know in your organization, you hire a number of different types of jobs, right, from sort of clerical all the way up to higher level professional jobs. Is there a different approach that you might have for those different types of positions?
Oh, yeah, definitely. See, mostly it's the ones that I'll mention. They're the, you know, $12 an hour high school educated people, the majority of my hires. And it's very rare that I find any of them on LinkedIn. And when I do, their profile's private and they have one connection.
Right. I'm shocked sometimes to see people on LinkedIn when they're in a profession where I expect them not to be on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
you know, I get surprising sometimes.
Yeah, in my experience, I can only speak for the UK, but we find a lot of those people on Facebook rather than LinkedIn. It's a different channel and approach in a different way.
MySpace even. Actually, that brings up a good point, Bill. MySpace is a great resource for finding candidates in, I would say, in the non-executive level industries.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a nail technician, or you're looking for an administrative assistant, or you're looking for, you know, a photographer, any of those things, MySpace is a great resource.
I would agree with that, and again, into not so much with the profile, but going into Twitter now, it's just got massive reach in terms of who you can get to. So,
sure.
I think a lot of these people are the level we're talking about. The big point that stood out to me from everything that you were saying was maybe it's more about teaching the skill of networking rather than social networking.
Yeah.
As a whole thing.
Right. Lance just commented on Twitter that most networking happens offline and it's more organic than advertised. So let's talk about that. So yeah, let's talk about that. So you're out there, you know, I'm a $12 or $15 an hour kind of person, light industrial. You know, where should I be going? Is there low state? Should I be looking to my local chamber of commerce, my state government? What should I be doing here in the U.S.?
I think Robin mentioned earlier they have one stops in most cities, or the employment jobs for the local city governments. Career fairs are going to be a place to go for those kinds of people. But to find out about those resources, it goes back to the networking. It's getting out and talking to people and saying, these are the types of jobs that I'm looking for. What kind of places should I be in this community? Because it's going to be different in every community.
And I think another thing, too, is aside from that, and temp is to look at temp agencies. And temp agencies are not like recruiters in that, you know, they're typically very high volume because they're temp positions. They typically cover a wider range of industries. And each temp agency, if you will, has a different client base. And there's usually plenty of clients to go around. So it's important, if you're at that level especially, to make sure that you're registered with a few different staff, or you know, staffing firms or temp agencies, to make sure that everyone has your information should they need someone like you to take a temp job. Because you know, a temp job is obviously better than no job.
Hey guys, so we've got about 10 minutes to go, and I do have a couple more callers who want to jump in, so I want to try to get them up real quick while we still have time. So let's go ahead and go area code 405. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hey guys, it's Jessica Miller Merrill, blogging for jobs.
Hi. Hey Jessica,
how are you? Hi, Jessica. Hey, Bill. I love your accent, by the way.
Thank you.
All the girls say that, don't they, Bill?
Oh, totally.
It's true, though.
What do you think I'm doing the show for?
Hey, Bill, can you teach a guy in the upper Midwest how to talk like you? Because, you know, maybe it's a tool I need to put in my tool set.
We'll do some coaching with it.
Might get you some more followers on Twitter. Just say you're from the UK. Everyone will think you have the accent.
Okay.
This is a Minnesota accent.
I'm loving it.
Hey, guys, I got a couple more folks. Jessica, can you hang on 1 second?
Sure.
I got a couple more callers I want to get online real quick here. Hi, area code 206. You are on the HR Happy Hour.
Hi, it's Jessica Lee.
Hey, Jessica.
Wow. Jessica Lee, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We were Twitter stalking and we thought you'd gone out to dinner already.
Well, I'm waiting for my dinner date to find some parking. Hey, I have a cynical question to ask when you guys have a minute.
Go ahead.
So, like, from a corporate recruiter's perspective, like, specifically when I think about people at a senior level or with executives, you know, I expect really high-level strategic thinking out of these kinds of folks. And so I wonder, like, would I, as a corporate recruiter, really want to hire or talk to someone who, and this sounds really cynical, but I'm going to throw it out there, but do I really want to talk to a candidate who can't think strategically about their job search independently? Like, do I really want to go and talk to a candidate and consider them seriously if they need to hire a coach or an advisor to help them with their job search?
I think that's almost like saying, you know, do I really want to hire someone who went to school to get an education?
I'm with you on that.
We have people that are senior-level executives who've been super successful for 20 years, and their company closes or gets sold, and they find themselves without a job, and a job search is not something they've ever done. I actually think it's a really strategic move to say, I don't have this skill set. I'm going to go to find out how to do this and learn from a professional rather than floundering around on my own. I think that's a strategic decision.
Right. I think it shows
For an executive, isn't an essential? Aren't some of the essential skills that they need to have? Shouldn't they include the ability to network, the ability to? And networking for me translates to the ability to develop business. I mean, I would hope that at a senior level, I mean, those are skills that you should have in your pocket already.
Sure. I don't think we're talking about that. I think that what we're saying is that's what they need to do. But as far as focus, as far as focusing on their career search or their job search, what companies do they need to target? What networks do they need to target? What job skills do they need to target? What does their resume need to look like? I think that a career coach is not a bad move to help them narrow down their own network. Who do I contact first? I think networking is an essential part of almost any executive job, so they're going to know how to do that. But it's a matter of tapping into their network and using it wisely. I certainly wouldn't think poorly of any executive that used a career coach to help themselves.
It's also, I guess I would call myself an executive. I had a VP title. If you had needed me to network to get something for my job or for my company, I could recruit, I could sell my company. I knew how to get to the right people to do that. And then for the first time in my life, after almost 20 years in the profession, I found myself needing for me. Plus,
right.
I also wasn't sure that I wanted to do what I'd always done, and I wanted somebody to help me walk through that process.
Right. There's a lot of that going on right now.
I have all these skills and things I can bring to the table, but how do I want to best use those? And this isn't, I get back to the opportunity. This is an opportunity for me to find a really great job, and I may not want to do what I've always done, and I want to get somebody to kind of be a sounding board for me that's a professional that knows how to do this. You know, I understand the cynical, why would they need to do that, but I just think we shouldn't expect, just like we were talking about earlier, the $12 an hour person may not understand social media. In my experience, I work with senior executives, and many of them have no clue how to
don't
use social media, and some of them don't even know how to use Excel and Word because they had an assistant that did that for them all the time.
Sure.
Does that
and not
make
only
them
that,
a bad
but
CEO? Absolutely not. That means it's a CEO who was doing strategic stuff who didn't get into Word every day.
Let me
jump in for a second. We just got a couple more minutes on the show. I have one more caller who wants to come on. Let me bring that caller up. Hi, area code 770. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hey, Steve. It's Debbie.
Debbie, how are you? Debbie Brown, right?
Hey, yeah,
Debbie.
Hey, Jessica, I loved your blog today. And I am a senior person, and I'm glad to see that you guys and senior seeker. So I'm glad to see that you agree that you need help. It's one of the reasons I'm on this happy hour show today. And I just wanted to mention that I am going to school on you guys. I mean, your community has been phenomenal in terms of helping me understand what the environment is like. And the one tip I wanted to just throw out there is when I'm helping job seekers at a senior level, I find those that have companies that they're targeting are the easiest to help. So those that have companies that they're very focused on, and they come into a network environment, and I'm in two or three different networks, not just Twitter, but you know, real people networks, where they come in and say, these are the 8 to 10 companies I'm focused on, then it immediately helps me know the people that I know in those companies that I can introduce them to, and that's the real magic in the networking. if they come in and they just say, well, I want to work for this kind of a company or a Fortune 500 company or a big company, I'm clueless at how to help them. And
Debbie,
I think that
Debbie,
that's really good advice to people to get them focused on a
Let me stop you for 1 second. I just want to make a quick announcement. The live stream is about to cut off right at the one-hour mark. So if you guys are hanging out listening online, you are going to get cut off. All the folks that are on the phone right now, we can continue talking, wrap up the last few questions, give all our shout-outs at the end. All this stuff will make the archive that will be available after the show is over. But folks who are listening live on the live stream, you're about to get cut off, and I'm really sorry about that. You can continue tweeting about what you thought about the show and how much of an idiot I am for not making this a longer show when we've got 15 callers tonight, so I apologize for that.
Well, you know what? They should be listening to the archive anyway. I know that as soon as I get off, I automatically listen because I like to see how stupid I sound.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, great. I'm sorry, Debbie, to interrupt you. I just wanted to warn the online listening audience we were about to get cut off.
No worries.
So now we can get to the really good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Feel free to
now
really
we can use
curse
words. I'm just kidding.
If Lance is still on
we
the line,
we could always
you know,
use
feel free to.
Words.
You can talk
oh,
about
I don't do that.
Now.
Live.
Yeah. I tell you though, I was really sort of surprised a little bit. They're glad, you know, this is such a lively show, Tom. I think we probably should schedule a follow up on some similar topics because we definitely could have gone, you know, a little bit longer, definitely on this topic tonight.
Sure.
Right.
No, I think I'm more confused than I was when we started a little bit.
That's
it's
not
good,
good
to hear all the differing opinions, though.
I definitely am open to that. I mean, I love hearing differing opinions because, you know, I can't be right about everything.
But you
all
can try.
Anyway. What's that?
I can.
It all depends on perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. That's a great point. That's a great point. All right, let's go ahead and wrap up. You know, the quicker we wrap up, Shauna, the quicker the archive will be available. Usually takes about 10 or 15 minutes, and it'll be out there, and we'll tweet out the link so you guys can listen back to yourselves and, you know, gather your friends and family around to listen to how cool you sound on the radio.
You're famous now. My friends and family would be asleep.
I told my 8-year-old about the show a couple of times, and then I said, you know, maybe you can come on the show sometime. And he told me he would come on the show if I paid him $20 and bought him comic books.
He's a good negotiator.
Yes, exactly. Has he been to prison?
Nice one.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't offer to trade me like 3 Marlboros, though, so.
Oh, goodness.
But no, it has been a great show, and, yeah, we're definitely cut off, so I'm sorry to the online folks, but let's go ahead and just, I want to give everybody a chance to just go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you're up to, maybe give a little plug to your site, blog, anything you're up to, anything you want to talk about before we wind down the show. So I'm going to start with, according to the list I have written in front of me, Jennifer McClure, the Cincy Recruiter. Is there anything you want to tell us and share with the audience? Where you are, where you're going, your website.
Where I am, where I'm going. Where I am is sitting here with my cat in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cute.
You can hear her purring. And the website is recruiter.com. And I'm actually kind of right now going through doing, you know, networking and touching back with some people myself. I'm kind of migrating into consulting, still doing some executive search and also some executive coaching, but I'm really enjoying helping people with employment branding, attracting talent, and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you do a fantastic job at the events you attend, letting us all know who are not there, what's going on at those events. It's awesome.
Well, thanks.
You did a great job at ERE Expo, by the way.
Thanks. If I could get paid to tweet, I'd take that job.
Paid
no
tweet.
Kidding.
Well, you're in job search mode, too. Paid to tweet. I'd love that. Okay, how about Robin Eads? Tell us what's happening
sure.
in Robin's work.
Sure. Well, I'm probably going to be the most talkative about this part of the program. Jobshouts.com, obviously you guys know who we are. We launched in January of this year. We have private profiles for job seekers that send them direct messages on Twitter when jobs are posted that match their profiles. So that's the important part for job seekers. On the other hand, recruiters need to know about our new search tool, and I'm really looking to get some feedback on this. We want to perfect it. We want to roll it out of beta into full online version, but it's jobshouts.com/candidate-search. And the reason it's exciting is because it allows you to search certain keywords or job titles or whatever you wish across 7 social and aggregate sites and also resume search. We added resume search the other day. So now you can do all of that in one click.
Awesome.
Which
great.
Is really, really cool. And I know that for recruiters, automating a search process and making it faster, time is money. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make the process expedient.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on, by the way.
Thanks for coming on. Thank you. All right, Paul, what's up with Paul? Where do the Gophers have this weekend?
Al is in town. We're 12.5-point underdogs, and we're still going to kick their ass.
Go Gophers.
That's a good spot. I'll take the 12.5, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for tomorrow. 11 a.m. is on ESPN or ESPN2, so anyone can watch it if they wish.
Cool.
I have, since the first of the year, just because so much of what I've been doing business-wise has been focused, you know, in Minneapolis and having a presence here, so I started doing job search-related sessions online, and last week I passed 1,500 since the beginning of January of listening to a session. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. And then I started learning, though, that some of my recruiter HR friends were listening to the LinkedIn presentation. So I decided that maybe I would start doing some recruiter ones and actually, you know, maybe, I don't know, asking for some cash from my colleagues to pay for the other part. But I just want to suggest to folks who are going to listen to this later on that one thing that we've all talked about tonight, though, was that you have to own your job search has to be it. I mean, I still think that the late 90s, I still think that the idea that where people were handing out job offers to MBA students and for undergrads who hadn't yet graduated, it screwed this whole thing up, and now people expect that someone's going to show up to their door with a job.
There's no job fairy.
You know, there really isn't.
I want a job fairy.
I know.
You know, the Easter Bunny does his thing, Santa Claus does his thing, but there is no job fairy. But anyway, so the two sites, www.mnheadhunter.com and beyourownheadhunter.com.
Besides Steve with the bunny in tights, anyway.
Tutu, I want pictures.
Dude, if that exists, I will hunt you down and kill you.
April Dowling, what do you want to shout out to? You're hiring still. We should have called you right at the beginning.
Anybody in the Birmingham area that's looking for medical billing and coding, call me, theoutsourcegroup.com.
If you are posting those jobs on Job Shouts, right?
Yes, I am, actually.
Good.
Woo!
Yay!
Awesome. Nice tie-in.
Anybody else that's in the Birmingham area, the local HR chapter is having a Survivors Job Skills Camp for anyone in HR on October 28th. I believe it's going to be at the UAB campus. It's free for anybody in the community. It's going to be hosted by volunteers from the BSHRM committee. So, you know, anybody that's looking for help on social media, resume writing, mock interviews, any of that good stuff, check out the website. It's bsherm.org, and come see us.
Are you going to send out a tweet about that, and we can retweet that for you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely. And we'll try to get that in the show notes as well. Awesome. Fantastic. April, thanks very much for diving in at the very last minute as well. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Bill Borman, what do you want to talk about?
That's me. I just want to say two things. One is, anyone listening in from Dallas, just I want to say we're really pleased with the TalentNet event in Dallas that I was at recently, and the fund has now gone to $2,000, gone to the Fallen Heroes Support Fund, which I think I think that's outstanding. Other thing is, I'm around every Monday on the radio. As you know, it's 6 o'clock UK time, but 1 p.m. on the Ready for Liftoff show for anyone who wants to come in and talk or shout at recruiters.
Yeah, Bill Borman, Bill's show is great. I love it. I listen to it every week. And I'll see you next week in Toronto, Bill.
You'll see me in Toronto. I'm on my way to Recruit Fest. I'm leaving
I'm
on Tuesday.
I'm so jealous. I'm jealous, jealous.
Me too.
Anyone else going to be there?
I think we'll have a ball. I'll buy you a beer there, Steve. I'm looking forward to
it. Absolutely. Cheers. I can't wait for that. It's going to be great. Jessica and Little Mel, you're still with us?
Yeah, I'm still on. How's it going?
Great. Bloggingforjobs.com. Anything else you want to talk about?
I'm going to be at Recruit Fest too, and I'm going to try to be doing some video interviews. I got a new Flip Ultra HD camera. And I'm kind of excited, so I'm going to try to catch some recruiters with tips for the job seeker.
Great, great.
And post
come find me. I'll be glad to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
Great. Yeah,
I can
meet you, Jessica, next week. That'll be fun. Lance, are you still with us?
Yes.
Besides, like, any, you know, more, like, you know, bombs you're going to drop on the show. Anything you want to plug?
No, I just want to. I want to give Jennifer McClure a big shout out for calling me salty. That's it.
Is there a backstory we need to know about? I mean,
it's just not. I just
not really sure.
There was a little bit of a difference. You must have had some good meat for supper, or your sports team's done well, or things are going great at Merit Builder. I'm not sure what's going on.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, meritbuilder.com. That's my plug.
Yeah, awesome. Meritbuilder.com, right? YourHRGuy.com. Did I miss anybody? Did I get everybody? Anyone else still hanging around?
Debbie, hang on just to let you know that we're driving up to Death Valley, and there's a big game tomorrow.
Oh, Debbie, I'm sorry. Debbie Brown. Death Valley, for those who don't know, you're talking about Clemson University, right?
I am. Yep, we have a place in Anderson that's 15 minutes away from Death Valley.
Yeah, well, I hope the game, I hope Clemson loses tomorrow, quite frankly. And
Who's Clemson playing tomorrow?
I have no idea. We're not going to the game.
They're probably playing like Furman or Wofford or somebody pathetic like that. So,
Wake Forest, maybe?
Yeah. Terrible.
Jennifer, my battery on my phone is actually about to die. So,
all right, well, we're about to wrap up. I think we got to everybody. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. I really appreciate it. It was probably the most lively show we've ever had, I think. Shauna, what would you think?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was absolutely great. I think we're going to have to do another one of these shows. We'll have to get it on the schedule, and hopefully a lot of you can come back on. It was great, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you taking the time on a Friday night as well. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Great show, Steve.
For
thanks.
Having me.
All right, guys.
Bye.
Thanks.
Steve,
I'm going to play us out with a little AC/DC, Lance, for you, a little Thunderstruck.
Nice.
Bye, guys.
All right, good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.